Sure Shame Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Well, shalom, everyone. I'm Bill Cloud. Thank you for joining us today. I hope that you're having a great day and hope you're having a blessed week. We are talking about the rise of Babylon. And in the previous program, we discussed Mystery Babylon, or is it Mystery Babylon? Is there a Mystery Babylon, or is it that there is a mystery about Babylon? And so we're going to kind of explore that possibility in today's program. Because my opinion is that what John was trying to convey to us, or the Spirit through John was trying to convey to us, that there is this mindset, there is this mentality that is called the mother of all harlots and of all the abominations of the earth. Everything that we would say is wicked comes forth from Babylon. And what Babylon is a mixed and mingled mindset. So rather than trying to figure out if this is Mystery Babylon or if they are Mystery Babylon, perhaps the Bible is trying to convey to us that there is a mystery concerning Babylon, that at the end of days, this mindset, this mentality of tolerance and coexistence was going to come back, and it was going to thrive, and it was actually going to play a role in the establishing of the last kingdom. And so this was going to happen at the end of days. Now, in another passage that we've read in the previous programs, there is a principality, we believe, one of the seven heads of this beast that received a deadly wound with the edge of the sword, but the deadly wound was healed. And so I say that because I want you to consider this prophecy from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 51, verse 8, which says this: Babylon has suddenly fallen and been destroyed. Wail for her. Take balm for her pain. Perhaps she may be healed. Now, when I read that, that struck me as very odd that God would talk about the destruction of Babylon, but that it says, perhaps she will be healed. And so, is it possible that this is some kind of an allusion to what we read in Revelation chapter 13, one of the seven heads of this beast receiving a deadly wound, but the deadly wound was healed? So my point is this, that in the Scripture, again and again and again, we see that the main principality is Babylon. The head of gold of Nebuchadnezzar's image was Babylon. Babylon is the mother of harlots and of all the abominations of the earth. Everything that is wicked and evil ultimately emanates and comes from Babylon. So all of that brings us to this question. If Babylon is what is being pointed at through Scripture in the beginning and in the end, if Babylon keeps coming up again and again and again, then what about Rome? I say that because many eschatologists, I'm tempted to say even most eschatologists, believe that our focus needs to be on Rome, a revived Roman Empire based in Rome, Italy. But as I've shared with you many times before, the end is revealed to us from the beginning. And when we go back to the beginning, do we find Rome? The answer is no. But we do find Babylon. So then, why do many eschatologists believe that in the end of days that we need to be looking for a revived Roman Empire? Well, in Daniel chapter 2, the image that Nebuchadnezzar sees has a head of gold, chest and arms of silver, belly and thighs of brass, two iron legs that are then transformed into 2 feet with 10 toes, iron mingled with clay. And so since the legs of iron transition into feet that are iron mingled with clay, it is assumed that the last kingdom, that is the kingdom of the beast, the 10 toes, the 10 kings, is going to be some kind of a revived Roman Empire. Now, I do believe that there will be in this last kingdom, it will be reminiscent of Rome, in that Rome conquered the entire world and was very strong and very rigid. But I don't agree that it's a revived Roman Empire as it's been presented to us in times past for several reasons. Number one, in Daniel 2, Rome is not the head. Babylon is the head. Again, if Nebuchadnezzar's image is If we can liken that to a body, and we juxtapose that body against the Messiah's body. Well, Messiah is the head of his body, and every part of the body receives instruction from him. The head tells the body what to do. Well, Nebuchadnezzar's image, Babylon, is the head. So Babylon tells the head what to do. And if the two legs of iron in Nebuchadnezzar's image is the Roman Empire, I would suggest to you then that the Roman Empire served the purpose of taking the body where it wanted to go, because the Roman Empire conquered more land and territory than any other empire up until that point in time. And it crushed its enemies. It crushed other nations and kingdoms. And the Roman Empire, that influence, is still with us today. In fact, even here in the West, in the United States specifically, we are influenced by the Roman Empire. We have a Senate because the Romans had a Senate. All of our federal buildings are modeled after the Roman model. So the Roman influence has engulfed the entire world, but the scripture is very clear. Rome is not the head. Babylon is the head. Rome simply took the body everywhere the head wanted to go. And so if we have a quote-unquote revived Roman Empire, it's actually going to be influenced by Babylon. Babylon is the head. So that's one of the reasons that I'm not of the opinion that this last day kingdom is of necessity a revived Roman Empire. Another thing to consider is this, that the Roman Empire was not just in Rome. There are two legs on that image, not one. A lot of people don't connect with the idea that the Roman Empire was actually a Western leg based in Rome and an Eastern leg that was based in Constantinople, which we now call Istanbul, Turkey, which, by the way, is an Islamic nation at this point in time. So there was a Western leg and there was an Eastern leg. And the Western leg was destroyed by some of the Germanic tribes an entire millennia before the eastern capital, Constantinople, fell to the Turks. So there's an eastern and western leg. But still, the legs take the body where it wants to go, but it's not the head. And then, and this is the one that is just kind of the nail in the coffin as far as I'm concerned, Revelation 17 very clearly says that the beast was not the kingdom that was ruling in John's day. Let me read to you from Revelation chapter 17, beginning in verse 7. But the angel said to me, "Why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that you saw was and is not," that means not here right now, "and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth, and is of the seven, and is going to perdition." Now, these passages that I just read to you, in my own opinion, are some of the more complicated passages of Scripture. It's not that we can't understand it. It's just that we really have to analyze what John is saying. And so I'm going to the best of my ability, try to do that for you and then articulate what I've gleaned from this in a sensible manner. All right, but here's the first thing we want to notice, that there are actually two mysteries that the angel is going to discuss with John. He says, "I will tell you the mystery of the woman," that is the scarlet-clothed woman, the woman that represents the mixing and the mingling, who has the golden cup in her hand, the woman who has committed fornication with the kings of the earth, this woman that we've discussed in great detail. There is a mystery concerning her, and, he says, there is a mystery concerning the beast. Now, when it comes to the beast, the angel makes this point that the beast was, that means in the past, John, from your day and from your perspective, this beast that you're seeing used to be. But then he says, the beast is not. Presently, John, the beast is not here. However, it will arise out of the bottomless pit. Now, here's a very interesting, poignant thing. Who was ruling the world in John's day? It was the Roman Empire. And so if the angel very clearly says to John that the beast that you're looking at, this seven-headed beast, the one who, one of the heads, had received a deadly wound with the edge of the sword, but the deadly wound was healed. This beast that you're looking at, that this woman is riding, but the ten kings are going to turn on her and burn her with fire. This beast, it used to be, John, it has walked the earth before. But right now, John, it isn't. And if Rome was ruling the world in that day and time, then Rome is not the beast. Now, Rome may be one of the principalities that comprise the beast, but it's not the head. And so Rome, and I believe a revived Roman Empire, does not equate to the beast. So then, this beast used to be. It's not right now, John, but it will be. This verse here is another one of the reasons that I believe that the United States is not Mystery Babylon, as some people like it to be. Now, I believe the United States is Babylonian in that it has that mindset. I believe Canada has that mindset. I believe Mexico has that mindset. I believe France and Russia and South Africa had that mindset because that Babylonian influence is everywhere. But I don't believe that the United States is Mystery Babylon. And here's one of the reasons. Because the beast used to be John. From John's day, from John's point of view, the beast had been before. Well, from John's day, it's going to be a long time before we have the United States of America. So what John is seeing has been, in his day, presently, was not, but it's going to come back. It's going to be resurrected. That deadly wound that killed it, that deadly wound is going to be healed. Wail for her, Jeremiah says. Give her balm. Perhaps she will be healed. That's what I believe is being conveyed to us here. And the angel reveals that this beast is going to arise out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. The word that is translated bottomless pit, some translations say abyss, is apollyon. Apollyon is related to this word, or name, I should say, apollyon. Apollyon. And where do we hear this name or this title? Revelation 9, verse 11. Let's read it. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, or the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. That's very interesting. So the abyss that he comes from, the word in Greek is related to his title, which is in Greek Apollyon. And notice that Apollyon is the king. He's the head over this bottomless pit. And this beast that John was looking at, John, it used to be, it's not right now, John, but it is going to arise once again. It's going to come back to life. And it's going to come out of the abyss, and it's going to be called Apollyon. Now, that's what it was called in Greek. In Hebrew, it's called Abaddon. And Abaddon means destroyer. Here's something interesting. In Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 7, the prophet refers to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, as the destroyer. So where does the destroyer from Jeremiah's perspective come from? He comes from Babylon. Now, this destroyer that we read about in Revelation chapter 9, verse 11, he comes from the abyss, from the Apollyon. His name is Apollyon. In Hebrew, Abaddon. In Hebrew, Abaddon, or destroyer. In verse 14 of Revelation chapter 9, just three verses after the king of the bottomless pit comes up, then there are four angels released, and it gives us a bit more information. They're released from the same abyss, apparently, but the abyss is somewhere in the vicinity of the Euphrates River. That's what is borne out to us in Revelation chapter 9, verse 14. So here's what I want you to see. The king, or the head of the bottomless pit, is synonymous with this beast that John is looking at that used to be, in John's day is not, but is going to come back again. The king of the bottomless pit is released, and following the king being released, four angels are released from this same bottomless pit, but it's in the vicinity of the Euphrates River. And where is the Euphrates River? It's in Mesopotamia. It's in the area where Babylon was. Here's something even, well, it's fascinating. If you look on a map and you follow the Euphrates River down to the Gulf of Persia, there's a little island there in the Persian Gulf that it's actually part of the country of Iran, and the name of that island is Abaddon. In Hebrew, the king of the bottomless pit is called Abaddon, destroyer. And so it would seem that from John, what John is seeing anyway, this pit, this abyss, where this king and these other angels are going to be released from, is in the vicinity of Babylon. And there's an island nearby that's called Abaddon. Maybe that's just a big coincidence. Or maybe the scripture is trying to tell us something. That rather than Rome, what you're looking for is Babylon. Maybe that will translate to a physical, literal empire in Babylon. I don't know. But it doesn't have to be that, because Babylon, once again, is a way of thinking. It's a mindset. Now, again, the angel makes it clear that the beast that John saw was not in John's day, and yet it is. So maybe that's why John later on writes this in 1 John chapter 2. He says this in verse 18. It is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. In other words, John's acknowledging that the spirit of Antichrist in his day and time was at work, but he also acknowledges that it had been at work. But it is also inferred that he will come. The beast was, it isn't right now, but yet it is. That's basically what John is saying. The spirit of Antichrist has always been here with us, and we have many Antichrists. And that same spirit is working today and will continue to work and will be epitomized in the Antichrist. And so the spirit of Antichrist has always been here, even if the Antichrist wasn't. So to kind of clear up this mystery, the angel is telling John some things. See, there's a mystery concerning the woman, and there is a mystery concerning the beast itself. Now let's read in Revelation 17, verses 9 and 10. Something we read a moment ago. He says, here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Also seven kings. Five have fallen. One is, and the other has not yet come, and when he comes, he must continue a short time. Now again, this is one of those passages that can be a little complicated. But when we read that about the seven mountains upon which the woman sits, this is one of those verses that people go into and say, aha, the seven mountains upon which the woman sits. Well, that's Rome. That's the city that rules over the kings of the earth. That's what we're told in verse 9. So that has to be Rome. One of the problems I see with that, number one, is, again, the beast you saw is not right now, John, but it will be coming. Another issue is this. The woman that rides the beast is the city that sits upon the seven mountains. And the woman is not the beast. Let me say that again. The seven mountains that woman sits on are these seven, or say the seven heads that the woman sits on are supposed to be the seven mountains where the city that rules over the kings of the earth are. Well, again, the woman is sitting on those mountains. The woman is synonymous with the city, and the woman is not the beast. In fact, the woman is going to be destroyed. I'm going to recommend to you that the city that rules over the kings of the earth, in a spiritual sense, is not Rome. It's Babylon. The first city, other than the one that Cain built in Genesis 4, the first city that is mentioned in Scripture is the one that Nimrod built in Genesis chapter 11. And Babylon is the mother of all harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Everything emanates from Babylon. So, the woman is the city and the beast isn't. And if we read this very carefully, here's what we also see. That these seven heads, not only do they represent seven mountains upon which the woman sits, but those seven heads are also seven kings or principalities. And notice this, it says that by John's day, five of them have already fallen. Principalities, remember. It's called kings here, but we're not talking about flesh and blood kings necessarily. We're talking about principalities. So in John's day, by the time he's there, five of them have already come and already gone. So we can also read about principalities being referred to as kings in Daniel chapter 10 and 20. He refers to the prince of Persia. He refers to the prince of Grecia. All right, so here's what we're getting at. If you consider that these principalities, these heads of this beast, and the beast at large exist to harass and to try to destroy Israel, because this is what the adversary has always wanted to do, then these principalities or these kingdoms are going to be kingdoms that have oppressed, have influenced in some way Israel. And so here's what a lot of eschatologists believe, that these seven heads, seven principalities, five of which have fallen, are these principalities. First, Egypt, and then following the Egyptian Empire, which most definitely influenced Israel, oppressed Israel. Then you have the Assyrian Empire, which most definitely oppressed Israel. Then the Assyrians were followed by the Babylonians, which the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem. Then the Babylonians were followed by the Medes and the Persians. Well, the Medes and Persians had Jewish people in their empire. In fact, it was a Persian king that allowed the Jews to go back to Jerusalem. And then after the Medes and Persians, we have the Grecians under Alexander, all of which oppressed and influenced Israel. Well, by John's day, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, the Medes and Persians, and then the Grecians had all come and gone. Five have fallen, John. One is. In John's day, the Romans were oppressing Israel. But line upon line, precept upon precept, that beast is not equivalent to that one principality that's here. Because the beast you saw was, is not presently, but it will ascend out of the bottomless pit. So it's interesting that five had fallen. Now remember, we just read in Revelation 9 about this bottomless pit that the beast is going to arise from. The king of that bottomless pit comes forth from the abyss. And he's called the destroyer. Nebuchadnezzar was called the destroyer. Three verses later in Revelation chapter 9, verse 14, four angels are released from the great river Euphrates, where this pit is. And you take those four angels, plus that one king over them, and four plus one is five. What am I getting at? It would seem that in the end of days, this beast that has always been, in John's day wasn't there, and yet it is. And it's going to come back to life at the end of days. But it has a king over them. In other words, I'm suggesting that the five have fallen, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, the Medes and Persians, and then the Grecians. Of those five, one of them has to be the head. And according to Daniel chapter 2, Babylon is the head. So what do we see happening? John is seeing the revival of Babylon. Babylon coming back to life. And once again, what is Babylon? It's more than just an archaeological site. It's more than just a place on the map. Babylon is a mindset. You see, the spirit of Antichrist has always been with us. There have been Antichrists, but there's going to be an Antichrist. And he comes not so much posing as the Messiah, but he comes to deceive the whole world, to oppose the Messiah. And how does he do that? He gets everybody to think that it's okay to mix, to mingle, to coexist. Folks, what I believe is that you and I are witnessing right now, today, Babylon coming back to life. We may be witnesses that the deadly wound is being healed. Come back and join me next week. We're going to continue in this vein of thought. Until then, shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a Bill Cloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.